Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Yeah, gosh darn, don't you know? We love our Green Bay Packers. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Happy to have you. Lots to do today. Some guests coming up. Ben Wergel around 7:30 this morning. Michael Cohen around 8:20. Kevin Payne 8:35. So that's some Badgers, some Packers, some fantasy football. We've got a story to tell you. We're blown away by something we saw from Marquette yesterday. This is positive sports talk. We'll have that coming up in about 15 minutes. But, you know, we're a sports talk radio show, so let's start with the negative, Chuck. The Bucks lose last night in Indiana, 113-97, the final, a game where Giannis really didn't get going. Chris Middleton has not really been playing well, at least offensively, the last week and a half. Eric Bledsoe had a nice night, but the Bucks were never really in this one.
No, they got down early, and the Pacers just packed the lane against Giannis. They attacked the Bucks a different way, and maybe now we got to see how the Bucks go forward on this if other teams do the same thing. Budenholzer's right there. The Bucks got to start hitting some shots if that's the case. But they made life difficult all night for Giannis, even him getting his touches. And when he did get the ball, he was crowded. He had to kick the ball out, and his teammates were not making shots, including Chris Middleton. But, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 12 points, 4 of 7 shooting. That's not going to work.
He took 7 shots.
Yeah.
Which means they got to him pretty good. And he was a plus-minus. Now, plus-minus, are you, like, super into this stat?
You know, not really. No. No. I'd rather see a guy to see how he plays in a stat line too. But I mean, how he plays on both ends of the court and the importance of it. So no, I never really look at the stat. What is it for? Just for curious sake.
Well, like Middleton last night, he played 34 minutes. His plus minus was -4. Sterling Brown was in there 27 minutes. His plus minus was +3. So mm-hmm. When Sterling Brown was on the court, the Bucks scored 3 more points than they gave up. Giannis was -31.
Yeah. Oof. But still, that just shows you he just was not a factor. 4 of 7. 7 shots, man. How does that happen? And Giannis, I know, is very unselfish as a player. And I'd like him to be more selfish, but he is unselfish. But didn't have many chances last night because he gave his teammates opportunities. If they hit some shots, maybe it's a different story last night. But, you know, we've seen that before. Indiana's a tough place for them to go. I feel like they go there, and who knows what's going to happen.
Indiana's a team that might be a tough matchup for them. I think Charlotte, we've seen, can be a tough matchup for them, especially when they go small. As you start to look at where the Bucks might land in the East for the playoffs, you try to figure out, well, who's going to be the toughest first-round matchup? Right now, it's the Raptors, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Pacers. Those are your top four. Celtics are back up to 5, Hornets, Pistons, and Magic.
They're all tough.
12 and 15, though. I don't think anyone's worried about the Magic.
No. But, I mean, you look at the first 5, especially. Those are all tough. Toronto, like you said. I mean, the Philly, Indy, Boston. I mean, Indy's a good young team. Boston, we know about Boston. You know, Philly is what it is. And Toronto's one of the best teams in the NBA, too. So, yeah, I mean, I think whereas for many years there was only a handful of teams that were good in the East part, you got several teams here. We're right in the mix.
Well, you've definitely got a top four. You've definitely got a top four. And whatever order you want to put that in, you can. Toronto's at the top. I think it's Toronto and Milwaukee as your top two. And then I put the Celtics in there and then the Sixers. But whatever order you want to do, that's the top four in the East. I don't think anybody disputes that. So then you have Indiana sitting there like, hey, I mean, we're pretty good too. I mean, yeah. We've got Victor Oladipo. We've got a nice core around him. Why is nobody talking about us? So that could be a team that maybe we're ignoring a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they've won 5.
That could do some damage.
They've won 5 in a row. The Bucks are a game out of the 5th spot in the East. That's how it's bunched up right now. I mean, the Bucks are 3.5 behind Toronto, the top seed, tied for the top, second seed with Philadelphia, but Boston's only 4.5 back, and they're the fifth seed.
Bucks lose last night, 113-97. They fall in Indiana. They are back at it on tomorrow. Who they got tomorrow?
Cleveland. Cleveland. On the road.
Oh, yeah, the double dip with Cleveland.
Yeah.
This week. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Andy's in Mequon. What's up, Andy?
Hi, Andy.
What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Chris Middleton needs to go. If there's anybody out there that thinks he's worth what we're paying him right now, that's laughable. And now there's people saying that he could be getting a Supermax deal. What planet do I live on? He just got benched a week and a half ago, then didn't come back to play against the Pistons, and we destroyed the Pistons. So then 2 games later, I'm already getting the same lackadaisical effort without even his ability to score anymore. Like, what happened to his mid-range game? I understand he stretched out to the three-point line early on in the season, but he cannot shoot anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a slump or what he's going through, but, you know, when I look at when
you
I
don't
hear,
think he's worth the $13 million right now. That's too much.
Well, not $30 million.
Well, no, well, Andy, I mean, said what we're paying him now is too much.
All I was trying to say is it's a stretch for him to be getting paid what he's getting paid based on his performance right now. And he has done nothing to say to anybody that he deserves a raise.
Yeah,
if you're only getting a raise because the salary cap's going up, well, then you're going to start paying Dellavedova $25 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, if his agent comes to the Bucks and say, hey, let's start talking about next year, you're like, wow, well, we're not talking $30 million right now. I mean, if this is the stock market, man, he's coming in low because 4 of 18 and 0 for 7 for the three-point arc, and the way he's played for the last 2 weeks, it's like, what's the deal?
Andy, appreciate the call, as always, 799-1250.
See, a good player, a great player, an all-star caliber player, doesn't go through slumps like that.
Well, and he hasn't. We talked to John Horst this week, and John Horst said he's our second-best player. As of late, he has not been. It's been Eric Bledsoe. Mm-hmm. I think it's been clearly Eric Bledsoe, who was the bright spot last night, 26 points, 11-16 shooting with 6 assists and a couple of steals. He's been the guy that's been stepping up. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. We really kind of dissected this Middleton thing, you and I. And I said, hey, you can't look at one game. You're going to make $30 million. You might still have a bad game or two. He really hasn't had a good game since then. And then there was the benching that happened in New York. He didn't show up for work, as it was explained to us by the Bucks GM a week ago yesterday, and he just has not looked good since. Now, Malcolm Brogdon has said last night that Middleton's been sick. Eric Name of The Athletic tweeting that and confirming he's been sick, but I don't know what sick means. It feels like something is going on with Middleton that we don't know what the personal reason was, and nobody wants to share it.
Yep.
So how can we criticize Chris's performance? I don't know what's going on with him. Is this just bad play? Is he sick? Is it something else? I don't know.
When the GM comes on our show, John Horst, and says, well, there's nothing, you know, he just took a day off. I mean, that's the Bucks saying that. Okay. They're not going to come. If there was an issue, he's not going to tell us. All right.
Right.
But, you know, and then you hear other reports and all that. Nobody really knows for sure, I guess, what the deal is. All I know is he's struggling, and he hit that game-winning shot against the Bulls in the last couple of weeks, a three-pointer. But since, man, it's been tough sledding, man. And, last night had some really good looks. Clank, you know, could hit a shot. Just looked as bad as he's ever looked last night.
He is definitely a polarizing figure. I feel like Bucks fans, and I'm expanding from Bucks Twitter here, Chuck. A lot of times I focus on what Twitter people are saying about the Bucks. Bucks fans, Twitter or not, social media or not, seem to be very
sure
love or hate with Chris Middleton.
Well, I think if the Bucks want to shell out that type of money, they want a guy who's going to be, you know, you can't need 4 of 18 from him. And the way he's been playing the last 2 weeks. Now, maybe it's something else or whatever, but he's got to bounce out of this, man.
Let's get to Mike in South Milwaukee, 799-1250. Mike, good morning. You're on Chuck and Winkler, the best show that was ever made.
And good morning, gentlemen. I got to say that it's got to be he's sick. It just doesn't look the same. Chris Milton, you know, there's got to be something physically wrong with the guy. He's known to hit shots for us.
Yeah,
I've watched him hit shots. It's just not him.
Well, he played 34 minutes last night. So, I mean, what could physically be wrong with him if he's playing 34 minutes?
I've seen basketball players go through slumps. You know, I'm 43 years old. I've watched a lot of basketball. So I would have to say there's something physically wrong with the guy. I like him.
I don't know.
I think he's a good player. And I've never seen him like this before as a Buck.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd have to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. I mean, at least Bledsoe is stepping it up these games. As you're pointing out there, Bart, Bledsoe is really, really – had some nice games, 26, 27 point games in the last week or so. But yeah, Mids is struggling a little bit. And it's a mystery why he's struggling. I mean, he's had bad games like this before in the last couple of years, but man, he's going through a really tough stretch right now.
I mean, was he sick in New York? Did he get sick and couldn't play last week Wednesday? Was he sick this weekend? When did he get sick? And what are we talking about? Does he have the flu? Does he have a cold?
It's a hell of a long flu, man.
Is it something worse? Yeah. I don't like to speculate, but it seems like there is an unknown that we're not being privy to. I don't get why.
Is there an issue between Middleton and Bud? I mean, obviously they had one in New York. But is there an overhang there? Is that still going on? Because that's almost 2 weeks now.
And I'm conflicted. I guess when I say I don't get why we don't know, I don't need to know everything about Chris Middleton's personal life. That's for sure. But if you're gonna tell us that something's wrong, but not tell us what it is, it's a very weird situation because the Bucks. I mean, Chris Middleton's their number two guy is told. To us by John Horst, and he was 4 of 18 last night, and he's been struggling offensively ever since the bench.
But yeah, you know, when I hear the he left for a personal reason an hour before the game, obviously coming off the benching a couple of days before, and then it's an hour before the game he's leaving, and it's just, it sounds a little fishy. It sounds like something's up there. And again, nobody really, really, really knows. I mean, there's been different reports, but Horst is going to cover up for his guy, whatever it is, which is a good GM is going to do. And I don't know. I mean, just been since then, it's just not been right.
How many days do you think it's been since Chris Middleton had at least 20 points in a basketball game?
Oh, man. Well, the Knicks game was 2 weeks ago Saturday, so maybe two and a half?
We'll go back. The Knicks game, he has not had 20 points in the month of December.
Well, okay.
In five games, he's averaging 11.2 points a game. That's not for $30 million.
No, it's not.
Against the Bulls on Wednesday, the week after Thanksgiving, the week of our toy drive, he had 17. He had 14 against Charlotte.
Okay, the Bulls game, that's when he hit the game-winning three.
Yeah, 14 the game before at Charlotte where they lost. It was against the Spurs. 21 points against the Spurs. The Saturday after Thanksgiving is the last time Chris Middleton's had at least 20 points in a game.
I think the Charlotte game, I think it was after that game, you and I had the Chris Middleton debate with our listeners. I think that was the game that we, because he did not play well there.
Did we have it out at the toy drive? I thought that was an in-studio fight.
Okay, then it might have been before then.
Could have been before then.
Yeah. Might have had some of that there too, but I know it started in the studio.
No, a toy drive, we fought about taking charges in basketball.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know, that last caller was from South Milwaukee. I'm going to get into that sometime today, too, because I had not been to South Milwaukee in years.
Okay.
Years and years and years.
We can schedule the South Milwaukee convo.
And you and I were out there yesterday, and I feel like South Milwaukee hasn't changed much in years.
No, it was like a throwback going back in time. We were also somewhere else, and we do want to talk about this. The Marquette men's basketball team, an incredible thing that they did yesterday. And we will have that for you coming up. Don't go anywhere. We're actually going to praise something in sports, and it's deservedly so. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
No, I mean, you know, I think certainly Chris is, you know, a great player. And I think, you know, he's going to find, he's going to start making more shots. And he started the season incredibly hot. And, you know, so I think, you know, we have a lot of faith that he's going to return to that. So, but, you know, he's human. So he's just got to keep working and he'll fight his way through it.
That's head coach Mike Budenholzer of your Milwaukee Bucks. You're 18-9 Milwaukee Bucks after a loss last night to the Pacers in Indiana. 18-10, or 18-10 now sit the Pacers. Final score, 113-97. Chris Middleton, 34 minutes, just 10 points. Hasn't had a 20-point game since the 24th of November against the Spurs. More on him and your thoughts on him as he's become a polarizing figure for that team. Coming up in a moment, you can chime in 799-1250, 414-1250. 799-1250, but we want to at least get this out there, and we'll do it now, and we might do it a few more times because I think we were just kind of impressed, really, maybe stunned a little bit. We were at the Children's Hospital yesterday for a winter event that they had, and it was just a cool event where kids come down from their rooms, and they can meet Santa, they can meet Buddy the Elf. This guy looked exactly like Will Ferrell,
yeah,
which was amazing. You could do a bunch of other things, some arts and crafts and stuff. We were the final, they were like stations. So we were the final station. And the reason we were there, Chuck and myself, was because of you guys for what you did at the toy drive a couple weeks ago. We had a table set up with toys and then the kids could come after they talked to Santa. They could pick out one of the toys that you donated. So that was very cool. And you guys stepped up to do that. We were just sort of the representatives yesterday. But the other thing was, and we didn't know this coming in, the Marquette men's basketball team showed up, Chuck, and it wasn't just one guy or an assistant coach. The entire team showed up, and the kids were blown away.
Yeah, no, initially, I was told when I got there that, oh, a couple players from Marquette are coming here. And then a representative from Marquette, who I knew, a few minutes later showed up, and I said, I heard a couple of Marquette players. Which ones are going to be? He goes, no, the whole team is showing up. I go, the whole team? Marcus Howard included? Yes. He says, they're all going to be here. He says, Wojo's the only one who couldn't be here because he's out recruiting. He's,
yeah.
You know,
when do they
state.
Play again? They don't play for a
No,
no.
Bit. They don't play until next week. Okay. But Wojo's out, you know, pounding the pavement, recruiting out of state. So he flew out. But the rest of the team was there. And, you know, there's it's one thing for guys like that, you know, players and all that, and especially that age, to show up and just kind of be there and go through the motions. Man, those guys took action, and those guys were a part of the toy drive, distributing the toy, interacting with the kids. Those guys were great, man. They were fantastic with those kids at Children's Hospital.
I think when you show up to an event like that, I think there's three tiers of how you can be.
Mm-hmm.
You can show up and just be like, all right, this is on my schedule today. I have to do this. I'll go stand there and a kid will come by and we'll take a picture. And okay.
Just make an appearance.
So make an appearance. The next tier is, I'm not sure what I'm getting myself into. It seems cool. I'm a little reserved. I'll try to make the best of it. I don't really know what to expect. And then the next level is, I'm here. I want to make these kids' day a little more special. I want to be a part of it right away. They're taking pictures. Mm-hmm. They were going up to kids. The Marquette team was. There was a karaoke station. They were singing songs. I talked to this one young girl. Chuck, it was at the very, very end.
Mm-hmm.
This girl came up, and she was talking about, she got a toy, and she was talking about her doctor and how in love with her doctor she was. And I said, well, don't you think that these guys from the Marquette team are cute? And she said, yeah, I got to sing with them at the karaoke station. So they had met her over there. And I said, oh, come on. You got to like Marquette. There's 20 of them. You got to like them more than your doctor. She showed me a picture of her doctor. He is a hunky doctor. So I get where she's coming from. But then she went to talk to Santa.
Uh-huh.
And the Marquette team made their way over when they saw her talking to Santa. And when I'm going to start crying. When she turned around, I caught the very end of it. When she turned around, they started singing to her.
I guess you say, what can make me feel this way? My girl, talking about my girl.
team at Children's Hospital yesterday. I took a video. I put it online. It's on our Twitter account at 105.7FM The Fan. Just real quick, 20 seconds that you heard there, but you get to see it. It's everybody. Yes, Marcus Howard. Everybody is involved in that. Marcus is actually, if they had a like an a cappella group, he'd be the first chair. He was kind of leading the whole show. So just really cool to see them impact those people that way. And so, yeah, we talk about a lot of, you know, negative stuff and our teams lose and it sucks to be a sports fan, but we got to continue to talk about how cool that was.
Oh, it was.
Yesterday.
It was. Did somebody say to those guys, hey, we're going to go to this thing, but and if you guys do a good job, no practice tonight. Hey, you know, one of those deals?
I don't know what the incentive was.
Jeez, because, man, those guys were awesome.
But they
no practice. You guys come and you guys go. You guys dive headfirst into this, and we're not going to practice tonight.
You say what can make me feel this way, my girl. My girl.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
They actually don't sound too bad either.
No, it's going old school too.
Yeah.
And those guys actually know the words.
Yeah, they all know the words.
Of a song that's old, like older than us even, you know. So that they were great, man. And they were taking the selfies, you know, with the selfies where you're gonna put the fake noses and the fake mustaches on and all that. They were all taking part of that with the kids. Again, you know, we're talking about college kids who, you know, sometimes like a college kid might think he's too cool to do that, especially about, guys who are coming from star athletic backgrounds. These guys weren't that. These guys were all about doing whatever they could to help out yesterday. And that, I just got a new light in those guys.
Yeah, it was very cool to see. Big ups.
If you saw those guys yesterday, how can you not cheer for that group?
Do I always tell you about Marquette and Wisconsin? I'm a Wisconsin guy, and when they play, my Marquette, because it goes up all year. And then once they play Wisconsin, it resets back to zero, and it takes a while to go up all year again.
Yeah.
It's up. I mean, it's as up as it can be.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
It was awesome, man. And, you know, Marquette has had a history of doing stuff like that with the players, with the team. Not necessarily what we saw yesterday, but you know, I've seen them kind of do things in the past as a team, and you know, that just says a lot about the program right there. It does.
Oh, I agree. That reflects, even though Wojo was out pounding pavement, that reflects on the program that he's built.
Sure does. And you know what? Now when you see them on TV, you're going to think back, hey, remember these guys at the – you see Marcus Howard at the free throw line, you're going to think about him singing My Girl.
Oh, for sure. Again, that video on our Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter, at 105.7FM The Fan. But also another opportunity for us to thank you guys, because some of the toys that you donated, they got distributed at that event yesterday. And so thank you again for that. More than $160,000 in cash and toys from you guys at our toy drive this year, if you haven't heard that yet. It's Chuck and Winkler. We'll get into the Packers in a little bit. Aaron Rodgers talking pretty fondly about the group around him. So maybe this little lull won't be extended. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers before the end of the hour. Do want to get back to the Chris Middleton situation, how polarizing he is, some tweets coming in, some phone calls. You guys can chime in. 799-1250 as the Bucks lose last night. All that coming up here on The Fan. Also want to remind you guys about what's going on at Perkins right now. This is the place to go for the holiday pies. So it is holiday season. You may have a party this weekend. You may have work parties coming up, maybe family get-togethers. Don't show up empty-handed. Go with Old Reliable here. They've been doing this for a long time. People love it. That's why they continue. The holiday pies. You can pick up your holiday pies at Perkins, whether it's the French silk, the caramel apple, the peanut butter silk, the wild berry and pecan, or more. Some of these only available in the month of December. So a good chance to get a pie, but also a good chance to get a holiday pie. You have to have this on your holiday table. Those available at Perkins, you can go pick up or call today. Tomorrow, then, a Friday fish fry. If you want to get out there, sit down and eat a nice meal, they've got the Friday fish fry every Friday at Perkins, in addition to their steak menu, in addition to their classics menu, in addition to all their breakfast options. It's all available at Perkins. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. More on the Bucks loss last night, a little bit on the Packers, that all coming up before 7. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
I think just, you know, it's frustrating when you got good looks and they don't go in. And on the other end, I think they're physical, they're executing. They just, they played well tonight. Give them credit.
Coach Mike Budenholzer, after the Bucks lose to the Pacers last night in Indiana, 113-97 is the final. Not a good night for, well, Giannis. I mean, the Pacers shut him down, only took 7 shots. 12 points and 12 boards. Chris Middleton, 10 points, 4 of 18 shooting, 0 for 7 from beyond the arc. Got a tweet in here that says, guys, hate to say it, but Chris Middleton is this year's version of Jabari Parker. I don't trust his discipline, motivation, or desire to win on a nightly basis. At 105.7 FM, The Fan, that's from Stefan. Let's go out to Jacob on the south side, 799-1250, talking Bucks, talking Chris Middleton here on The Fan. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, Jake.
Good morning, guys. First thing, I just want to address Bucks Twitter. Like, guys, just chill out, man. We're 9 games over 500. We're not even 30 games into the season. Like, just chill. It's a long grind. It's a long season. Like, be happy where we're at. You know.
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that a little more today because I think the big Bucks Twitter issue now, mm-hmm. and maybe other Bucks fans not on Twitter, is that they started 7-0, and they've been 11-9 since. Even though 11-9 is good,
okay.
Even though they're beating good teams, I think the schedule's been tough. That I think is the problem. So we will address that more, Jake, a little later.
I appreciate that, and I guess my last point on that is basketball is a game of runs. You go on good runs, you go on bad runs. At the end of the day, it's your record that matters, okay? Secondly, I got to address Chris Middleton. I'm trying to pick my words carefully here because I don't want to sound insensitive, but the stuff that was going on as far as him getting benched for the lack of hustle, I guess you could say, to me that was the most red of flags as possible for a guy that's playing for the biggest contract of his life. It would be an unmitigated disaster to max out a guy like Chris Middleton or even approach the max for a guy like that. I mean, if you really have to, address the truth to yourself and say, okay, if this guy's 100% dialed in, is he still worth the max?
Yeah.
And my answer to that would still be no. Now you have a guy who, as I said, is playing for the biggest contract of his life and can't be bothered to hustle on defense. He can't be bothered to chase after rebounds. That's not a guy I'm comfortable paying any type of large sum of money to. So to me, he absolutely has to be traded this year. I don't fault the Bucks if they don't move him just because they already made the move to secure some cap space. So at the end of the day, you can let him go, not get anything back for him, but at least you're going to be able to have some money to do something significant. But to me, I got to do everything I can. Maybe combine him with like a Tony Snell to get even more cap space this upcoming offseason because you got to think long term here. I don't think he's a championship piece, even when dialed in. And obviously, we've seen when he's not dialed in that he's really a net negative on the court.
Thanks. You know, I'm hearing a lot of this now, but I mean, I mentioned this, 2-3 weeks ago, and Bart and I were having this discussion, and I felt there was nobody who was agreeing with me on stuff like this. I thought at times last year and the last couple of years, Middleton has disappeared in games where you wouldn't even notice he's on the court. And it's like, oh, yeah, Chris Middleton's still on this team. How come he's not where is he? Where's his game? He's on both ends of the court, especially on the offensive end, where he earns his money. But I feel like in the last couple of weeks, Bart, people either are just disappointed or are letting out frustrations, or because I haven't heard this much criticism on Middleton ever until recently.
Jacob, thanks for the call. He is like this year's Jabari Parker in that we need somebody to polarize, and this year it's become Chris Middleton. And when we had that conversation last year or last month, a couple of weeks ago, I think for a long time Chris Middleton has been maybe judged harshly than like his contemporaries. I feel like when Chris Middleton signed that contract for 4 years, what was it, 48?
Yeah.
Some 3 years ago. I feel like that's when everybody said, whoa. And that contract at the time, look, the salary cap continues to increase. But what happened there was a new TV contract, and the NBA and the players, they decided instead of letting the salary cap go up $5 million, $5 million, $10 million, $5 million over the next 4 or 5 years, let's just let it go up 30 right now and get everybody paid. Then you saw that offseason where Timothy Mozgov made 4 and 72. You saw Tim Hardaway Jr. pull down like $18 million per year. You saw a lot of these guys who didn't deserve the money get the money because it, like the Kirk Cousins syndrome. There was a free agent, a team had money, so forget his worth, let's pay him. Chris Middleton got his contract before that kicked in, yet at the time, it seemed like it was an outrageous deal. Chris Middleton's deal has been a bargain ever since then, and right now he's making $13 million. So I feel like a lot of the criticism on Middleton started then, and people have looked unfairly at him since.
But if-
now, where we're at now, Chuck, he's got another contract coming up, and the $30 million, if that's where you're going to go to him, that's a lot of money. That's more than what Giannis is making right now. So you've got to look at, you've got to try to separate what you felt about it then, if you were wrong, and think about it now. And I'm having a hard time doing that because I've defended him because I thought people that were so against the first contract were so crazy. Now I'm looking at, okay, you got to pay this guy $30 million possibly to keep him. He has not averaged more than, he's averaging 12, he's not even averaging 12 points a game in the month of December. If he continues to play like this, no, you're not paying him $30 million a season. But what is wrong with Chris Middleton? That's the fundamental issue of what we don't know right now.
Well, I feel like this. Anytime you allocate a large sum of money to anybody, no matter if the salary cap went up already, you still want to be able to spend the money smartly. You're going to give this guy this amount of money. He's expected to perform and deliver for you. Yeah, those other guys who made gave weird contracts, Mozgov and all that, horrible contracts. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be pressure. You sign a big contract, you're expected to go out there and produce. The microscope's going to be on you. Now, when we're looking at this next contract, we're saying, oh, geez, it's tough to justify paying $30 million a year for a guy who's as inconsistent as Middleton is. And that's where my problem is because, yeah, Middleton, of course, there's nights when he could put up 35 points and be great. And you're saying, wow, well worth that amount of money. And then there's like stretches like this, and you look at him and you say, God, all my salary cap is going to this guy, and he's averaging 11 points a game over the last 2 weeks. That's where I find it difficult, that he's just not consistent enough. And this is what I've been, you know, was telling you 3 weeks ago. I don't see a consistent enough player that when I want to give a guy $30 million, I have to swallow hard and think, okay, you better be able to bring it every night and perform. And if you have an occasional night off, okay. But still, yep, 95% of the time, you better be the man. Just like Kawhi Leonard, 95% of the time, is the man. And some of these other guys who are getting paid heavily. You know, that's just how these guys are judged. When you allocate, because that's money you can't give to another player who might be able to help you. But instead of paying this guy all this money, and he's not helping me at all.
Got a few tweets here. 180 says, Middleton is way too streaky. When he's cold for a while. Drew says, we got to stop talking about this. It's going to get around the league, and it will be in Middleton's head all season. We need him to just deal with what he has to do and let him not think about it. So that's the kind of case where if somebody's like bothered, the more you ask him, are you okay? The more they're not okay. They'd be okay if you leave them alone. Hey, are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine.
Well, that's, I mean, if we got to stop talking about it so it's not in Chris Middleton's head, that's a weak approach. I can't go there. Right,
there's
now
another tweet that I'm even more worried about. Jim took a picture on his phone and sent us a couple of tweets from Matt Velasquez last night. Listen to this about Giannis. Giannis was asked about his limited offensive output. Giannis said, I just try to pass the ball, make the right play all the time. That's pretty much it. They said, okay, well, if you do that every time, how do you find yourself in a rhythm? You can't. I never had the ball. I had multiple defenders around me. I had to pass the ball, and the game did not come back to me. We never as a team forced the issue for the game to come back to me. Mm-hmm. My team wants me to be unselfish. I'm going to pass the ball, and that's going to be it. Now, that's interesting. That's from Giannis.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the team, when he says the team, is he talking to the players? He's probably talking about the coaching staff and the philosophy there wants him to be unselfish. See, I don't like that. I want Giannis. I want the ball in his hands. And if Giannis can score and take to the lane and get to the free throw line, I want that. I want a selfish Giannis Antetokounmpo.
799-1250. Let's go to Skyler on the north side, 414-799-1250. What's up, Sky?
Hey, Chuck. I just want to say we finally got rid of the bum, Henson. I'm excited about that.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, Henson's a good guy, but he, you know, again, another guy who, you know, take him or leave him. Overpaid.
Simple as this. You can't give Chris Middleton that max money because he, like, the biggest thing, like, you've been saying it all the time, Chuck, he's just too inconsistent. Now, he might make you fall in love with him again in another 2 weeks and go on with his tear, and then he's going to do the same thing. You just need a more consistent player. So I was saying, what the Bucks try to get, like, I was just telling Cody, he said, why would Klay Thompson want to come here? I said, if you trade for him and give him $30 million or a Bradley Beal, I mean, I don't think Golden State going to be able to keep all of them. So, I mean, I think it's a possibility that you can get Klay Thompson if you're willing to give him $30 million. I'll give him $30 million. Can you just imagine his consistency shooting with Giannis inside, game, and leaving him outside? Man, can you just imagine how deadly that would be? And I think he ended up loving it here because he'll win.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's going to win in Golden State, too. And I think it sounds
And the way he acts, he probably wouldn't know he got traded for like a month.
Yeah. No, I think he's going to stay in Golden – I would think he'd want to stay in Golden State.
Klay's sort of aloof.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Seems
Skyler,
like
thanks
it.
For the call.
Seems a little different. But he's a good player.
Big Klay fan right here.
He's a good player, though, obviously.
There is a scenario, when we come back, we'll talk about this, where it is more likely than you may think that Chris Middleton could be dealt this season. That Chris Middleton could get traded. And the trade they made last Friday has a lot to do with it. So we'll explain that coming up momentarily. Also, we'll hear from Aaron Rodgers right after 7 o'clock. He is very confident in the guys around him. If that's the case, why is this team so bad as the Packers move on to Chicago this Sunday? Ben Wargle to talk Badgers with us just short of an hour from now as well. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, 1250 on the AM, everywhere at radio.com. Why it is more likely than we might think that Chris Middleton could be dealt this season. Next.
Seven seconds, pounding the ball into the floor, CJ Miles, as the Raptors come to the Bay Area and pick up the victory for the first time since 2004. So the Raptors beat the Warriors 113-93.
Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Talking some Bucks, talking Chris Middleton. Just got to get something off my chest first. So the Raptors go to Oracle last night, okay, and they beat Golden State. And the whole league is fawning over the Raptors. Wow, look what they did. NBA Finals preview. Hey, the Bucks have played the Raptors twice this season. They beat them both of the times. And in this season, they also went to Oracle and won as well by more points. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to do the NBA Finals preview talk, let's not overlook the Bucks here.
Yeah, well, I think they'll... You know, you got the two of the best teams in the league. Well, I don't think it's an NBA preview. We got a long way to go.
Sure, but if you ask any NBA fan on the street what's the most likely finals, they will say Raptors, Warriors, sure. Even though the Bucks are 3-4, 3-1 against the two teams.
Yeah. 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 Again, Bucks will get overlooked in that conversation. I don't know if maybe nationally people take the Bucks serious just yet.
Because I don't know they're the new kid locally on the block. People do.
What's that?
Locally, people aren't taking the Bucks seriously.
They
start off 7-0, and they're 11-9 since.
I think people are excited about it. But you know, like we said, long way to go. And you know, as far one of our callers mentioned a little while ago, Chris Middleton, you know, trade him. I wouldn't. you know, trade him for future assets, cap room and all that, I mean, that would be given up in the season.
I don't think they'd do that. I think here's how you can trade him. He is on an expiring deal. A lot of these Bucks actually are. And what they did with this George Hill trade was opened up cap room. So they traded Delly and Henson's contracts for George Hill's contract, which about matches up, right around $18, $19 million. So for this season's books, it's right around the same. It's a wash. But next year, George Hill, the most you're going to pay George Hill if you don't keep him is $1 million. He's got an $18 million contract, $19 million. You cannot keep him. He does get $1 million guaranteed no matter what if you cut him. So that is $1 million. But that frees up $17, $18 million cap room. Then you can actually defer that contract for 3 years. So you can only pay him $333,000 a year for the next 3 years. So that's a big chunk of money available. Now, if you package Chris Middleton, you could package him with George Hill if you want. You could package him, as someone mentioned, with Tony Snell. And you could free up a lot more room. If you would do that, you would be looking to trade for a Klay Thompson, which I think it's a non-starter, or a Bradley Beal, and the Wizards, at least before, were interested in trading some of those guys. So there could be a way that you do that. With the Bucks trading when they did, George Hill is still available for trade because it's like 60 days out and you can trade him again in a multi-year or in a multiplayer deal by the trading deadline. So there are ways where you can still trade Chris Middleton. I don't really want to talk about it because I do feel like Bucks fans, maybe this is NBA fans, Chuck, maybe this is just fans in general, we're always looking for the next trade. I mean, we're always talking about who we can trade. We just made a trade.
Oh, yeah. Well,
who can we trade? Trade Jabari. Trade Bledsoe. Trade Middleton over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
We're always looking for the next hit. We need that hit, baby. Well, we need that trade juice.
When the Brewers don't make a trade at the trading deadline or the Bucks don't make a move, which the Bucks always make a move, then people are disappointed. But I think, you know, if it can help the team, but, you know, if you trade Middleton, let's say if you trade at Middleton, I mean, he's a big part. I mean, he's a part of the reason why you guys are off to your team is off to the second best record in the Eastern Conference. So you better get another piece in here who's going to take that spot.
I don't want to get in the habit as a fan base where every time a guy has a bad week and a half, we're trying to trade him.
Well, I mean, if you're trying to trade him, then you know who else wants a guy who's going through a tough stretch too? What are you going to get back for him? You know, if you trade at Middleton, you better get a good package back too at the same, because you need a number two guy who's going to get you 18, 19 points, even though he's not getting it these days.
Hey, you never know, man. In this league, you never do know. What we know right now is the Bucks are number two in the East, but it is tight from 2-5. And they lost last night to the Pacers. They go back at it on Friday against the Cavs. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. More Bucks throughout the morning, of course. We'll talk some Badger hoops next hour, some college hoops coming up as well, and the Green Bay Packers. We're going to play this clip from Aaron Rodgers right after 7 o'clock. And when I heard Aaron Rodgers do the clip or say what he said, I'm thinking, wow, I was kind of like inspired. Like, man, I got goosebumps. The Packers, they're going to be good. And then I'm thinking, but why aren't they good now? So we'll hear that coming up. Aaron Rodgers and you, 414-799-1250, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.